pot roll with an inverter.
That's what they say sometimes.
No, they're not.
We got a hand. We have a hand.
No, I don't. I could start getting some. I just haven't. Nobody really asked. But I can talk to I don't have any.
Oh, no worries.
Okay. So how's everybody? Give another minute or two to see if anybody else shows up, rolls up. You be all talking all the time, buddy. What? Go ahead. That's it. No, I'm good. Thank you. I don't know if anybody else is coming, Ray, you can prayer for you.
Prayer from Karen today. She's in good spirit.
Good. I'm going to ask you, as you heard from her. Keep Brother James on in your prayers. James is under the weather. He sent me a text and told me he was not feeling good. I told him I'd pray for him. He's still having some residuals of that. Whatever they had down there, thank God I didn't get it. Any other? I sent a message out about Kathleen's knee. He went into surgery when Kathleen called me and told me she's at the Mayo Clinic. They're taking her in to do cancer surgery. So hopefully they got it all. Continue to pray for Corey and the children. The children are now sick. One of them is having the same symptoms that Corey had. So keep them in prayer. I think that's the latest I got. Any other additions to the prayer list or updates?
Miss Ruth is making progress. She's improving.
Okay. I think it was 14 of us total, and 9 of them got sick. And of the 9, all of them were target families except 2. That might have had something to do with it, but I don't know.
It wouldn't
have made them sick. Well, it would have been that way. Kids screaming like James did. It cost about a 5-pound bag of candy to get the kids to sing that stupid song.
Oh, man.
It was a good trip. 4 souls were saved, and we planted a lot of seeds. We went door to door, and we prayed for some people. One little girl we had witnessed to her mama the night before, or the day before, they had a little three-wheel thing down there called Toot Toot, and it's a motorcycle, and you can sit in the back of it, and it's kind of almost like a motorized rickshaw, what it is. And she was going to town to pick up, the daughter was going to town on a Toot Toot to go pick up something for her mom, and Toot Toot wrecked, and she had 22 stitches in her knee, and skin up, and so we prayed for her. It was just an amazing thing. Keep the country of Guatemala in your prayer. They get a bad rap on some stuff. Now, Guatemala City is a dangerous city. You get outside of that city and up into the other city, not a problem. It's a heavily mined population. You steal something, they put you on your knee, and you crawl 5 miles, and they whack you with bamboo sticks. You kill somebody, they take you out to another street, pour gas on you, set you on fire. They ain't no court trial, that's it. And so there's not a lot of crime there.
Yeah, wouldn't you take some of our criminals out of there?
They look after each other. That's probably the safest I've been on this trip. Any other updates or phrases or prayer requests?
Nothing spoken.
Okay. I talked to Michaela today. She had started back her treatment. Her numbers were not right last week, and so they changed up her medicine a little bit, and her numbers were right, so she was able to get her treatment today. So keep her in your prayer and burn your healing slow. Any other phrases? Prayer requests. Any other announcements?
Saturday night. What time is that?
6.
Any other praise and prayer requests? Announcement. If there's no other praise or prayer requests or announcements, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we love you. We thank you for this day. And Lord, we just lift up all those that were mentioned on the prayer list. God, we give you praise and glory for the work that you do. Lord, we know that all things that we do to bring honor to you. Lord, we ask you to bless this time together tonight. Let us put away the cares of this world, focus on you. And Lord, just give us the nuggets you would have us to have of this study so that we can apply them to our lives and so we can go forward and share your word with those that need to hear it. God, I love you, and I thank you for this evening, and I thank you for this study. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Alright, I'm assuming that Roger gave you a kind of 30,000 foot overview of chapter 9. Chapter 9, 10, and 11, there's going to be a major question asked here. What it boils down to is if you study and you get into it, you're going to ask questions. And rightly so. Paul is going to use Israel as an example for rejecting the Messiah and their Messiah, which became our Messiah. And of course, if Israel, God's chosen people, in the ancient all the way up, if they couldn't be guaranteed salvation by God, how can we? But when you get to the end, you understand why our salvation is secure. So you have to hang in there. These are normal questions that people should ask. You know, if Israel wasn't secure, how can I be assured of my salvation? And Paul's going to answer this question. And we're going to start chapter 9. We'll read the first, probably 4, 5, 6, 7 verses, and we'll start discussing that, and if we need more, we will go more. Chapter 9, verse 1, it says, I tell you the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the convent, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises of whom are the Father, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all the eternity, bless God. Amen. I'm going to pop right there, first little section. There's a powerful thing going on here. Paul just finished up. Let us stand at the mountaintop of glory in chapter 8. We're at the mountaintop. And so, in verse 1, he talks about, you know, Paul spoke from the truth in Christ. You know, he was sorry. You know, once Spurgeon said something like this, once a man gets past, or gets to where he's overflowed with the salvation of other men, the little minuscule things like how my cat feels and oh my dog sick and oh this little minuscule things in life do not matter. The most important things in life are the salvation of souls of men. And so it kind of takes all these other worries that we worry about to take our focus away from God and puts it on menial things. Not to say that we shouldn't love our dogs and we shouldn't love our cats and the things in life we shouldn't be concerned about, but they should not consume us. We should be consumed by what God has gave us in Matthew, at the end of Matthew, the commission to go and preach the gospel. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to save anybody. We're called to preach the gospel. And then once they accept salvation, we're called to disciple them. But every one of us are called to be gospel preachers. We're called to share the gospel wherever we go. And so, you know, God chose Israel in the past. You know, He chose them as His people. They were His given people, His chosen people. I mean, think about this. You know, Moses had that heartbreak for the people of Israel like Paul had in here. Remember, Moses come off the mountain, they made him a golden image to worship, a golden cow or whatever it was. And Moses said, God, don't smite them if it be take me, but if my brethren can live. That's a heart for the souls of men. That's a heart for the folks. You know, and so it's something that's gone on. Israel, look at all they had. Look at everything that the country of or the nation of Israel went through, and yet they missed their Messiah. They missed their Messiah. Guess what's going to happen when Jesus returns? People are going to miss their Messiah. Because they don't believe. Israel rejected God. Not only did they reject God, they put Him up to the Gentiles to be executed. Think about it. In less than a week, when He entered, if we're fixing to celebrate, you know, Easter. When He entered Jerusalem, they were putting palm branches down and singing, Hosanna, 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 in the highest. And then a few days later, they're going to crucify him, crucify him.
Right. They had all the apparatus. They had the entire structure of God. And that poor remnant comes out of this. The remnant were the ones that believed. The small group of apostles.
Just think about this.
The only ones that believed were the small band of people that said yes to the Messiah.
Just think about this. There's only going to be 12,000 Jews from all of Israel per tribe. 144,000. The remnant of Israel. Out of all the Jews in the world, only 144,000. And the Jehovah's Witnesses have misinterpreted that, and they think it's them. Well, they ain't Jews. But he's talking about their honor and remnant. And he's got, there's 12,000 from each tribe of the 12 tribes of Judah. That's basic multiplication. 12 times 12. I know I had to write that thing 1,000 times when I was in school. I will never forget that.
And Jerry, we said last time that these Jews, interestingly enough, have not lost their distinctiveness.
No.
They are still Jews, to the, somehow they know it to the core.
That's
amazing.
That's correct.
The rest of the people get assimilated into the society and are gone. They vaporize into the other culture. But not the Jews.
Not the Jews. You know, Paul, he had great concern for Israel. Paul spoke of this concern. He spoke the truth in Christ. Paul often called God as his witness. Romans 1:9, 2 Corinthians 1:23. Paul spoke the truth in Christ. 1 Timothy 2:7. He let his yes be yes, he let his no be no, and he let his witness be before God. He wasn't spinning anything. He wasn't trying to do anything other than let the Word of God, the power of the Scripture, do what it's called to do. Paul did not lie when he spoke about his great concern. Think about this. How many of us are really truly concerned about the nature of our country today? Think about all the men and women that have served this country. Not just for, but served this country. Think about all the men and women that worked hard to make this country what it is. Think about those who gave their life for this country. And you see what's happening today. You see how it's going. I have a heartache for my country. This is not the country that I grew up in. This is not the country that I raised my hand, you know, and served 3 years for. This is not that country. And so Paul's talking about his countrymen. Think about the Americans that's been left behind all over the world because their country won't go get them. You know, Paul's talking about his countrymen were doomed to hell. We're supposed to carry the gospel. Think about our brothers and sisters around us and our neighbors doomed to hell because we don't want to talk to them about God. This is what he's talking about. It is a fundamental thing that we should have a love for our fellow man. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love them as I love you. How did he love us? He died for us. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. And so all of this is coming to play in these short verses. You know, Paul said that he did not lie when he spoke. 2 Corinthians 11:31. Paul did not lie when he wrote to others. Galatians 1:20. Paul had a clear conscience as he spoke. Paul said that he had a clear conscience about his conduct. 2 Corinthians 1:12. When we speak about God, is our conduct, do we have a clear conscience? When we witness, do we have a clear conscience? When I stand in a pulpit, I have to have a clear conscience of what I'm saying. When I'm sitting here tonight, my conscience needs to be clear. Because if I lead somebody astray, that was on me. I want it to be from the Bible. That way I can stand on sure footing. Paul said, go ahead.
It gets a little scary when we're up here and we read these things where Paul says, I wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ. How am I supposed to interpret that? What it kind of comes down to is you've got to see a ton of stuff in that one. But he's just come off of the 8th chapter full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. And now he is saying, wait a minute. And he goes back into the physical attributes. You can just read them right here, one after the other. It says, theirs was the adoption of the servants, theirs was the divine glory, theirs were the covenants, the law, the temple, the worship of the patriarch, the physical structure of belief in God. God brought it down, not them. God brought it down. And then he shifts over to the spiritual thing, where he's beginning to say, oh yeah, you've got to be born again. You've got to be something different. Israel, it says, for not all who were descended from Israel are Israel. What does that mean? It gets scary.
Paul said that we are all to have a clear conscience. You know, he's talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:5. You know, he starts talking about talking about the quality and of a pastor, and the qualities of a teacher, and the qualities of a deacon. You know, we should all have a clear conscience. Do we have a clear conscience? Do we? I mean, really, is there, you know, deep down inside, is there something we couldn't, you know, I know we have regret, but is your conscience clear? Did you come here clear? Is there anything you're hiding or holding that you wish you could just get it out so it'd be over? Take it to the Lord. And that's what he said. Paul knew the benefit of an uncondemned heart. He knew the benefit of an uncondemned heart. Are we reaping the benefits of having an uncondemned heart tonight? I mean, I'm going to tell you, this is a heck. I can preach this for home. Do we have an uncondemned heart? What are we shielding inside of ourselves? God already knows, but if we're afraid that if it came out, what will my friends think? What will my brothers and sisters in Christ think? Who will be the first one to stone me? Who will be the first one to stone me? Because we have a bad habit of shooting our wounds. They mess up, and what do? We walk away. And that's not what we're called to do. We're called to go gather around and lift them up, help them be restored into the fold. You know, when Jesus said he left the 99 for the ones, every one of us was the one. Every one of us was the one. Will you leave the 99 to go for one? He's coming home. He's bringing it all together. And like he said, it's deep. It's deep. And I don't know if the tractor pulls flat. It's deep. And so
this is one of the toughest chapters. And it's not just this one. It's 9, 10, 11. These are deep, deep. Now, Paul has just got done with Antioch and Corinth. He's just got done with his mission work. He has spread the gospel all over Asia Minor. He has done it. And now he's looking forward to what? He's done with the East. He's going to go to the West. He's going to Spain. But he's got to go through Rome.
He's got to go through Jerusalem to get there.
And get some money for that cause. For that heat. I'm not sure where he's trying to get his money. From Jerusalem or from Rome. Or something. But he's transitioning here. It's very clear from the theologians that he's done planted the gospel in all these other Ephesus. We came through Ephesus. He's planted that in those churches, and he has those congregations. And now he comes to Rome, and Rome is the biggest metropolis. It's the big one. Historically, this is it. This is going to be, this is right before Nero. Nero hasn't come yet. Everything's Pax Romana. The peace of Rome is there. And he's looking forward to blasting through to the West. Why the West? Because of all those tongues that were talked in the spiritual movement of Acts, where they had all these nations, Spain was left out. Spain wasn't there. And so he knows it. And he's going to go for Spain. But, I mean, this is his hope. We don't know.
The Lord stopped him from going further east.
Right.
He had to stay in the middle, and the only place left for him was west.
Yeah.
You know, Paul knew the benefits of an uncondemned heart. 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. And so, in verse 2, Paul was filled with sorrow. You know, Paul had a great heaviness of the heart. Paul had a great desire to see Israel saved, Romans 10, 1, which we hadn't got there yet. He wanted to see Israel saved. Do we have a great desire to see our neighbor saved? I mean, really, do we? Well, we said, oh man, them folks are crazy. I ain't crossing the fence. They're over there, and you know, they're probably jump on me. But are we? Are we willing to risk it? And we've got to pray before you go. But are we willing to be poured out for the God? That's what it boils down to. That's Romans 10:1. Paul wept as he saw those who were enemies of Christ. Philippians 3:18. He was an enemy of Christ. He knew them personally. He knew what made them tick, because he ran around with them. And all of a sudden, he's crying for their souls. They were friends. friends. They went to school together. They grew up. They tell each other the different teachers of the law and
Emilio.
And he's dropped the luggage now.
Yeah.
And he's now in the spirit.
Right.
He's dropped the hard work. And he's not any longer trying to reach his people.
Right.
Because he was reached through what? He was born again.
Yeah.
He's now understanding this in its fullness and yet doesn't understand it enough for his own gratification. He wants to know more, and he knows he's dropped the hard work. The physical, I'm a descendant of Abraham.
Right.
So yeah. He's dropped it. He's ready to move on into the spirit, and he wants to
be a slave of Christ. He's been bought and paid for with Christ. He said he was a bond servant of Christ.
Right.
And so he understood, you know, Paul wept as he saw those who were enemies of Christ in Philippians 3:18. Paul had continual sorrow of the heart. Paul followed the example of Moses. I brought up Moses earlier in Exodus 32:32. Paul followed the example of David as he wept for others in Psalm 119:36. Paul followed the example of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, as he wept for Israel. Jeremiah 9:20. Paul, he knew the Bible. He studied application. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. So he knew the law. He knew the scriptures. And now he started to understand the depth of the scriptures when Christ got a hold of him. And he got to see where he was wrong. And now he's sorrowful for the not only for his comrades. His ex-comrades are not enemies. They tried to kill him. They tried to kill him in Damascus. And so he didn't understand. He's been on both sides of it. And what did he, you know, what did he say to what blank? You know, he said, "You don't know what he had to suffer to take my message to the Gentiles." He paid physically for the death of Stephen and for those that he persecuted. He paid for that. Paul had a great concern for the Jews. In 9:3, Paul said that he could wish himself accursed from Christ. Excuse me. Paul followed the example of Moses in expressing his feelings in Exodus 32:32. In 32:32, Moses offered himself up, said, "Lord, take me."
Yeah.
I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but "Lord, take me."
Instead of wiping out the rest of them.
"Lord, take me. These are your chosen people." You know, have you ever put yourself in a spot to say, "Lord, take me"? I have. My wife was sick, and the doctor said, "If we can't control her electrolyte, there's nothing we can do." I hadn't prayed to the Lord in years because I was angry. And I told him, I said, "Lord, I know you haven't heard from me in a while." I said, "But I'll tell you what, if somebody has to go take me, the daughters need her more than me." And that's when my life started to really change. I understand that if you have a great concern for somebody other than you, you're not first. You're not. You know, you see these bumper stickers on them, and the facts and witness where it says, "He is greater than Simon than I." He is greater than I. They are greater than I. We are to be down the list somewhere. We should be putting our families and our God first and our brothers and sisters down ahead of us. By the time we get to, we should be 10, 15, 20 down the list. If we live like that, we're going to honor God. And that's what all of this study and all this scripture is about, is not only coming to God, our job is to see that others see that in us, but so that we can be used by Him for His will and not ours. When God calls you to do something, you know, "I'm not doing that." Well, God called you to that. Why? Because you're the one He chose to do that.
Right.
And not that somebody else can do it, not that He couldn't get them. He chose you to be His servant for that.
And Deuteronomy, to add to that, 7, 6 through 8, "For you are a people holy to you, the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be His people, His treasure,
possession. That is eternal.
Yeah.
The Lord did not set his affection on you and chose you because you were more numerous than other people, for you were the fewest of all people. But it is because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh the king. And that promise comes out. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. That's interesting. He's making their name great. Where the Lord's name is really the one that's great. I will bless those who bless you, and those, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth, and this is the one, will be blessed through you. Paul read this stuff. Paul understood this stuff. I mean, he probably had it memorized. What's going on here? He knows these promises are there, and they're eternal, and they're God's promises. He knows they're there, and he's trying to put his arms around them, and he can't do it, again, with the hardware of Israel, with the law, with the temple. He can't get a grip on it, but he's seeing very clearly the spiritual thing through Christ. The gospel message. He's seeing it in its fullness, relatively speaking, because I don't know if any of us can, but he's starting to see that, oh my goodness, that's a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and taught under the best, and missed it.
Yeah.
I missed my Messiah.
Yeah.
And he slapped me flat on my face, blind. I get it, sort of. And he can't get enough of it now. He's trying to his people to see it. He would cut himself off from Christ to give it. Oh, it's an amazing feeling. It's the way he's trying to teach us in the theology and the doctrine that we should be that self-sacrificing for the people in our community.
Paul understood the curse that Christ took for mankind. See, when God blinded and changed him, Paul comes to an understanding through the Holy Spirit what Christ, as best a human can, what Christ has upon himself for mankind. Do we? I mean, some of us, it's been a while since we come to Christ. Do we understand what God did for us for mankind? Do we understand the curse that Christ took upon himself? He didn't just take Jairus, which was bad enough. Think about Adolf Hitler. Think about Charles Manson. Think about all the serial killers. Think about all the Mao Zedong. Lenin. Stalin. Think about all of them. Think about all of those. He took that on himself too. The most horrific crime there ever been. The most horrific thief. 20 times. Pearl Harbor. Hiroshima. Nagasaki. All of that. The plague. All of it. The earthquake. The Pompeo. All of it. He took all of that on himself. And those, we don't understand the depth of it with our limited minds, but he understood the curse. Do we? It's not just, he didn't call us to be saved. He called us to serve. He called us to be used at his pleasure for his will and his glory. Period. If we're not doing that, if we have our own motives underneath it, we are blaspheming the Lord. And that's a hard pill to swallow. A very hard pill to swallow. And he expects us to come before him boldly if we go before the Lord. Think about this. These guys were helping move the ark, not the way it was intended to be moved. And the ox stumbled, and the guy stick his hand up to keep it from sliding off. They said it was vaporized, what it did. Right there. He means things to be done the way he set them out to be done. And it's our responsibility. He gave us a charge. Listen. When we stand before God, who's going to be there saying, thank you. Because of you, I know Jesus. And who's going to be sitting there? You know, we're going to describe this. And I'm going to be a little rash here. They're going to come and sit in that chair. And they're going to name not going to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they're going to look up there and they're going to see you. And they're going to cock that hammer. And that person's going to say, why didn't you tell me you're my friend? Splash. And electrify. Why didn't you tell me? Lord, you know me. Didn't you love me enough to tell me? Think about that. Think about that. That's a possibility. I know it's not theologically sound, but in my mind, that's how I'm able to connect. They're going to call your name. Because everything that we do is written down. We're going to answer for our deeds. And for who did we not share the gospel with because we just didn't feel like they deserved it? Who did we not share the gospel with? Because if I go talk to the person, I'm going to be there all day. I don't like the language they use. I don't like the way they look. I don't like the way they smell. I don't like the way they drink.
They're all different.
Yeah.
So go to a church that doesn't, that you don't know any of the hypocrites, right? You know?
Yeah. Believe it or not, I had someone tell me not too long ago that they were not going to come here because it was full of hypocrites. I said, well, how are you going to get your groceries? It's 40 minutes that I see you in food line on time. It's full here for you. You don't have a problem going there. They still come here. Go to Walmart. Go to gas station. Go to hospital. I bet you got there with history. But you won't come to a church because of history. Where else would that be? It wouldn't be here for Christians if it wasn't for the church. They still come here. I don't know why, but they did. God called them here, that's why they're here. The problem today in our society here in the western part of the world is we're too soft and we want things sugarcoated. We want a drive through. Throw away. We're a throwaway society and a drive through society. We want drive through Christianity. Come for an hour, get my order, and gone for a week. We don't want to have to get out of the car and experience anything. We don't want to walk into the store, just pump our gas out there, pay it, pump and go on. And we're not talking about it. I'm guilty of that. But do we understand the curse that those folks out there are under? And if we don't tell them, who will? And so there was this young guy that I met, and at the time he was telling a story, he was not young, he was a retired Major General from the Marines. His dad had been Commandant of the Marines. At the time that he told the story, he was related that he was a first lieutenant in Vietnam. And he went to see one of his soldiers. And he'd been shot 22 times. He kept running back and getting his team members and pulling back from fire. He got shot 22 times, dragging soldiers back. And he went to see him in the hospital, and he asked him, and there was a reporter there. He said, it's the truth. He said, why did you do that? He said, I love my brothers in the army. He said, well, why did you keep going back? He said, well, I asked myself, if not me, who, and if not now, when?
what we need to ask ourselves about sharing the gospel. If not me, who is going to share the gospel? And if not now, when? That's the mindset that we should have. That's what Paul had. He didn't have a problem sharing the gospel. Now, he prayed a lot. And if you're going to share the gospel, you've got to pray a lot, because God called you. And don't think you're going to get out there and you're not going to know what to say. He will give you the word to say. And when you walk away, you'll be amazed that they come out of your mouth. And you have to give credit to God. But He will prepare you. Paul said that he could desire. Well, actually, let me go back there. Paul understood the curse that Christ took for mankind. And that was Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. Paul said that he could desire that because of his brethren, Paul had this desire for Israel because he was also a Jew. We should have a desire for the lost because we were also lost. Let me rephrase that. We should have a desire for the condemned because we were also condemned. He loved us while we were still sinners. We are still sinners, saved by grace and mercy. Romans 11:1. Paul had a concern for his brother, the Jews, Acts 13:26. Paul said he could desire that because of his human relative. Paul had a concern for his brother, like Moses had a concern for his brother, for Nathan. Acts 7:23-26. All those folks who volunteered, you know, our military is volunteering now. All those folks who volunteer to go wherever that our country sends them, because they have concern for their brethren like Moses. They go and fight in other countries so that we don't have to fight here. We go and fight for other countries hoping that they can be safe like we are. When we go as a nation, this nation can fight in another country. You know how much ground we have? We're just enough to bury our dead. We don't want to run their country. We don't want to occupy the country. We want just enough ground to bury our dead. Get yourselves up and running and go and support yourselves. Freedom. It's all about freedom. We have the ultimate freedom. Christ has indwelled us with His Spirit. And we take that so for granted. We don't understand the power that is inside of us. The power that parted the Red Sea, it lives in us. The power that guided the stone that slew the giant that David killed lives in us. The Spirit that caused the fish to vomit Jonah out lives in us. The Spirit that raised Lazarus out of the grave lives in us. The Spirit that walked upon the water lives in us. The Spirit that healed the lame, made the mute to talk and the deaf to hear, the blind to see, lives in us. The Spirit that created, along with the Father and the Son, this whole universe that we live in, lives in us. Why are we afraid of this world? The most extreme thing that can happen to you is you die. And if you die, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
For an eternity.
For eternity.
And also says, for me to live as Christ, to die as gain.
That's exactly right. So our job here, as long as we have breath, is to share the gospel. To be able to serve Him at His will and pleasure.
So, Pastor, sometimes I think that we don't like to leave our comfort zone.
No, we don't.
Okay, in our flesh, right? The devil influences our flesh and says, it's not. So we grieve and we quench the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do when we live in the flesh.
Yeah. You're exactly right. I'm going to tell you, I got stretched this past week. I got stretched. You ever kind of witness to somebody and they're
your language is not there.
Well, I had an interpreter. That part wasn't that. Now, he was from Southern Guatemala, so he could interpret for me. And he knew y'all and all that, so it worked. Really, I'm serious. But the thing was you were talking. I was witnessing to a person who was under the influence of Catholicism and Mayan culture, and so you're trying to break through generations of stuff that they've been taught by their parents and their elders is not right. Think about this. Well, you were, some of the things that you were taught as a kid that your mom and dad taught you that you found out later was not right. How hard was it for you to come and accept that fact that it was wrong? I mean, when it's drilled in you, it's drilled in you. And so that was hard because trying to get them to understand and comprehend what you're making. And I'm trying to do this. I know Catholicism don't know a whole lot about the mind culture. You know, to use parallels and the interpreter I had was fantastic. And we decided to hug each other and agree to disagree, and you know, he kept wanting to tell me that, you know, we all serve the same God. I said, yeah, probably. I said, but the difference between you and I is I don't have to go to confession. I said, when Christ died and that veil was rent, that took away the priest having to pray for me, I had to go straight to God. And that kind of shook his world a little bit. And he said he didn't understand, and so there was a room that had a door there with a curtain over. So I told him, I said, see this room here? This is the Holy of Holies in the sanctuary. Can't see through that curtain. The only person that can go in can only go one time a year. They tie a rope on his foot in case he's not clean when he goes in there. God strikes him dead, they can drag him out. He's not laying in there rough. And then he goes for the whole country once a year. I said, just Christ died. He said, it's finished. That curtain was ripped down the middle. And there was one in another room. I said, it was split. And I took him like that. And I said, you can walk straight into the Holy of Holies and go straight to God without having to go through the priest. His eyes at me. I don't know how it turned out. I planted the seed. That's all I know. But these are the things that we're talking about. Paul understood this. You know, Paul had this desire for Israel because, for those who are condemned because I was condemned. I know what God had to go through to carry my sin. And Paul had a concern for his brother, the Jews. I have a concern for my brother. Because I was out there. I was wild. I was cutting up. I was sowing to the flesh. And God got a hold of me. God got a hold of me. Paul said he could desire that because of his human relative. He had a desire like Moses, Acts 7:23-26. It took him a while to get there. I mean, he was handing out, they laid all the garments at his feet while they stoned Stephen to death. He was there. He out of it. And I'm just wondering, you know, just a thought. I'm just wondering if that didn't work on his psyche, the regret of that. Of Israel, in verse 4, says Paul spoke of the blessings of the Israelites. The Israelites received the adoption. The people of Israel were chosen by God in Genesis 32:28. Way back in the beginning, God chose Israel. The people of Israel were called to be a holy nation. Think about this. They were called to be a holy nation. Exodus 19:3-6. The people of Israel were chosen as a special treasure above all peoples on the face of the earth. In Deuteronomy 7:6. Roger read the verses Paul knew about how all they had and how they were chosen. They were supposed to be a blessing to the rest of the world. The rest of the world was supposed to come to God through Israel by their example. And yet, what did they do? They messed up. They were forgiven, punished, messed up. Forgiven, punished, messed up. This went on for thousands of years. And then there was 400 to 500 years of silence. Nothing. From Malachi to the arrival of Christ. Nothing. And they all knew the story. They knew that there was mission. King Herod tried to have him wiped out.
So, you want to?
No, yes, God made it work.
It made it work, yeah.
He works in the broken things in life, too. And we forget that. And you can walk up and you can do all those fearful, wrongful, stupid things to get somebody to hear about Christ. And God's way ahead of you. It doesn't matter. You can go in there. They can see your heart long before you open your mouth and stumble over your words. It doesn't matter to them. They know you're sincere. If you bring your sincerity into the game, end of story. And, you know, they were seeking this diakosin, which is a Greek word for this righteousness acceptable to God, trying to, through works, make themselves acceptable to God through their own righteousness. This brings Paul back to the crux of the matter, which is, where did this, the first verse, where does truth come from?
Right.
He missed it.
The Israelites would see, they would see the glory. Listen to this now. The people saw the glory of the Lord fill the tabernacle. They saw that. He led them by the heat. He led them by the heat. You know, cloud by the day and fire at night. They never had to worry about the darkness. Never. And they seen His glory come and fill the tabernacle in Exodus 40. 34-38. The Israelites received the covenant. The people received the covenant through Abraham in Genesis 15:18 and 17:2-8. The people received the book of the covenant in Exodus 24:7-8. The people received the covenant today in Psalm 89:34-37. The people were often reminded of the covenant in Acts 3:25. The people were promised a new covenant in Jeremiah 31:33-34. Hebrews 8:6-10. The Israelites received the law. The people of Israel received the law in Exodus 34:27-28. They received the service of God. The people received the service of the sanctuary in Hebrews 9:1-10. The Israelites received the promise. This is the people had received the promise in Hebrews 13:11-17 and 33. The people who received promises had them based on God's character. 2 Corinthians 1:20. God made the promises. He was prepared to give it to them. Why did He not? Because they rejected the promises.
But, go ahead, finish your
time. When you give an invitation, it comes with a what if? Or it comes with a if clause. When we do an invitation at the end of the service, if there's anyone here today who would like to receive Christ, come now. If you will confess, if you will confess with me, that's as simple as it gets. If you'll get out of the pew, if you'll humble yourself, if you will give atmosphere to the voice, or voice to the atmosphere, you shall be saved. It's not rocket science. It's so quick, it's simple. And yet, people walk away from it. God stands at the door. You know, he tells them in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens the door, I will come in and sup with them and him with me. I'm knocking. Now, he has the right to take a door buster and bust that door wide open because he created it. He created you. You're in it anyway. But he will not do that.
He didn't do it in the Old Testament.
No, he didn't do it in the New Testament.
He didn't in the New Testament either. Nope. He picked up a marble called Abraham. He picked up a marble and this one, he saw the faith, the belief. If he had not done that, keep that in the back of your mind. Then he scooped up a small nation, the smallest, the most minuscule, and brought it forward to save the world. Then he picked up a scoopful of believers as Christians. And that's what we came from now. He took a small handful of those that come and follow him on his way. That's where he picks them up one marble at a time today. One believer at a time. I say marble, but people are marbles. They're real living souls. And but the point is, he doesn't force his will on them. He doesn't do this grandiose thing. You know, 60 million Jews died in 1940-something, and I'm not good on the...
Probably started in the 30s.
Yeah, 30s and the 40s. And guess what? 1948 is when he decided... Let me read this one verse. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers a son. Who has ever heard of such things? Who has ever seen things like this? Can a country be born in a day? Or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. Do I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Do I close up the womb when I bring to delivery, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem. Be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice greatly with her, all you who mourn over her. Isaiah 66. In one day, Jerusalem was a point that Israel was born. One day, God did it in His timing. What's interesting is God didn't make it to the country. And so, what was the number of 60 million? There's 15 million Jews in the world today. 15 million. And this is 2023. Maybe off a little bit there. Maybe it's a little more, 16 or 17 million. Think of that. It's through them that Christ came. It's through them this idea, this one God idea came to us. And it's being taught here. It's full. The scriptures came to us. This book that they brought to us came from them. It's poignantly unfathomable how much love God had to keep it going. Like our grief, it's a drop in the ocean compared to the ocean, which is God's grief. He's fighting for us. Any questions? Any comments? The battle for that for it. What was it? Animals.
All four
was before that. 1948 was they forced the British. They had gave
the North Atlantic Treaty gave Britain control of what they used the term Palestine, but and then that's when they let them have a nation, and they immediately did their constitution and all, and it was radical. Now I'm telling you, those folks that got there, they had a trip. So they left Europe, they went to America, they left America, they went back to Europe, they left back, come back to America, and then went to the Palestine. They let them leave Europe, then they went they got to America, America wouldn't let them in. They went back to Europe, they wouldn't let them in, they went back to America, and then they came to, I mean, it ain't like we, you know, we, oh, hallelujah, no, they didn't let them in. It's an interesting history to read. You know, God's good. And had they not been rejected in those two countries, 1948 might not have been the year that they were. But 1948 was the year that God chose. Any questions, any comments? We still lining up with Jay Burns?
Right, with you, yeah.
Okay. All right, good. All right. Well, let's go to the morning prayer. Roger, you want to close?
Okay. All right. Father God, we thank you for just being in your house and listening to the Word of God and hearing the scriptures read. We thank you for all that are here. We ask you to keep you safe and going home. We lift up all those that were spoken of and are. In our praises and prayer requests, we just ask you to answer all the unspoken things that we've been praying to your attention. We love you. We praise your name. We Christ's name.